Hello and welcome to the Decibel Boost Podcast, the official music podcast of the website Surreal Resolution. I'm your host, Robert, and every time I move my arm, it costs Surreal Resolution $42. 42, 84, you get the gist. And with me, I have...
Wear a face mask, you fucking dolts!
And...
Yeah, look at the word fuckboy, and you see a picture of the academics. Oh wow, it makes sense. You deserve it.
Now tell us how you really feel, Mark.
This motherfucker has the nerve to call Freddie Gibbs irrelevant. Like, you just because he has some top 5, 20, 10, 20 motherfucker around just making sure you think he's irrelevant? Which, dude, you... Like, dude, you're a humble yourself, clout chasing ass motherfucker. Considering your friends with a person who faked their numbers, a certain Mr. Rainbow Dickhead. How the single he could come along? Did it rain from number one to what else? Number lower, yeah, and
33.
anything about irrelevant? How did they struggle doing? Because it seems like. Watch that show again? I mean, after Joe Budden left, because it seems like no one gave a fuck about that show. I mean, if we look at stuff for complex, we either go to First Feet Feast because that's the more fun channel. There's food and hot wings. And really, dude, you're trying to go against Chrissy Teigen? Which...
Oh, God.
Yeah, on the Twitch channel, he got this drunken tirade, which got him suspended from Complex episodes, and got his Twitch brand, got his Twitch channel suspended too. Cause he ran like a little bitch. That's what he is. DJ Academics is a little bitch. Who thinks it could be tough, but he ain't. He's not. He's just some book. I'm this book. I'm bigger than all you rappers. Like, here's the thing. You're talking about I make more money than all you rappers. Here's the thing that rappers like Freddie Gibbs got that you don't have. They got respect. People will say, you know what, dude, go ahead. And you, nobody will look at you the same way. The one that Gibbs be clowning you through Twitter all week long. And you know what? I'm here for it. And you know, I'm here for it. But then again, you should have won the first few times when Big Mister threatened to beat your ass one time. And when these Amero clowned you, like, a lot. And they still clowned you a lot. Like, yeah. Learn to be humble. Learn to be humble, you clout-chasing fat fuck.
Yeah. Lesson learned. No one here wants to fuck with DJ Academics because he sucks. Let me put it like this. I think I respect Freddie Gibbs more than I respect DJ Academics, and Freddie Gibbs is an anti-vaxxer. Just think about that for a second.
Yeah, I always remember that damn laugh from Palmolive.
But this is... We have other things we need to talk about here. This is not the roast DJ Academics Power Hour yet. Yeah. Perhaps for another time. But here we are, episode 183. So, has anyone been doing anything of note besides just screaming into the void because everyone's being fucking dumb?
It's been more of that for me because work is picking up for some reason, despite everything going on. But, you know, it's a holiday weekend, which means... All the people got to get in for those cheap rates and trash the rooms and go out to the pool and wait out for an hour while it's pouring rain to get back in. I understand there isn't a whole lot to do nowadays except go to a 3-star hotel and hang out at the pool, but y'all can't do that at your own home, really? Really? Y'all gotta make my job a lot harder by... trashing the place. It's always fun, but aside from all that, AnimeCon weekend came and went, in which everything was done online because I'm gesturing out at the world right now, as I have been doing for the last 4 months. Things aren't getting any better because we got idiots in charge from top to bottom. Isn't it lovely? I'm just so ready to skip ahead to where we can start rebuilding because this is just... We are in the midst of one hell of a tanking season, if I can use some sports talk here. It's just... Pshh, way down the crapper. Kind of like that song Trolls.
Oh, dear.
33 spots after 1 week. I wonder where it's going to be this week. We don't know yet because the charts are running a day behind, but I'm sure it's going to be way down lower. Because who the hell possibly cares about the Rainbow Snitch and Little Miss Clout Chaser? That's all she does!
Fingers crossed it disappears from the charts entirely this week.
I hope so. Oh, and I also saw that Dave Bautista movie, My Spy. It was good. What?
Wait, that thing actually came out?
It's on Amazon because they bought the rights to the movie to put it on Amazon Prime Video, and mercy killing. It wasn't good. It's every typical cliche action star in a family-friendly setting movie you've seen over the last 20 years. But worse.
Oh, dear God.
Yeah,
I feel like I haven't seen trailers for that thing for like 2 fucking years now.
Yeah, it's been pushed back a ways. Although I am curious to go back to see one scene that the Double Toasted guys mentioned, how there's a magically disappearing knife in one shot. So I gotta go back to see if it is as bad as they say it is, because if it is, oh God. Oh God. Oh God. Help us.
Yeah.
I could have been watching Hamilton instead, but no, I'm a fucking masochist for bad movies. This is what being in style all the time does to me, okay?
Aren't we all? Anyway, Mark, what about you?
I'm just keep going on with all this shit going on. And of course, like many of you, I turned my attention on the AnimeCon weekend, which there's some good stuff, maybe not in announcements. Like, I mean, I didn't expect much because I knew, like, you know, pandemic shit, all that, but I will say there were some good things. I mean, I did like the bilingual POC panel they had down there, which it was on YouTube at a time, but it disappeared now. It's not that, but it was a good insight of, you know, how, like, you know, anime voice actors of you know, people of color how they struggle to do their thing, which that was kind of insightful. I like that shit. Yeah, and yep. I kind of did wish somebody did, you know. Well, I kind of wish the stream didn't disappear. I mean, it was on that Microsoft Teams app thing because, you know, maybe it's a good thing they didn't air it on Twitch because I've been hearing, because, you know, there'd be stupid comments on Twitch. And it's like, you know what? Because the comments on the Teams app that were, they're very respectful, they're kind, you know, I mean, you know, for good fans. Not assholes, which I appreciate that. But also the Netflix thing, saw that show, BNA, Brand of Animal, you know, the one from Trigger. And, yeah, I mean, yeah, it was a good show. A bit disjointed in some parts, but, yeah, I think in terms of Trigger shows, and I said shows, I ain't seen Promare yet, that don't count as a show. But, yeah, it's maybe close to maybe... in the middle high for me.
Yeah. It would be like a B level Trigger show.
I still need to watch it.
Yeah, it would be around that for me. Like, yeah, like that'd be like close to B plus for me, yeah.
Yeah, that's fair.
Alright, anyway, as for me, well, I tried paying attention to some of the internet con goings. most of which have mattered to me once again tearing my fucking hair out because Anaplex gonna Anaplex.
$300 for Persona 5.
Oh,
bite my ass. Okay.
Yeah, I mean,
and where do you get off calling it a complete set if you don't even have the proof of justice OVA? You gotta give the Akechi fanboys what they want. And fangirls, too. I know several.
Nothing for the Daybreakers OVA, either.
Oh, boy. I'm not surprised it'd be this expensive. I mean, it's Anaplex. What do you expect? They've been doing this shit for how many years now? 15? And of course, this shit gonna be expensive as fuck. I just hope they put it streaming soon, or at least put it, I don't know, like Funimation or whatever the hell they streaming now.
Once upon a time, they sold Baccano on Blu-ray for $50. True story.
Yeah, we can only hope for the streaming, or maybe if they have some kind of Demon Slayer type deal going on with Funimation where they can put out the sensibly priced standard edition Blu-rays. Like, yeah. Look, you're talking to a guy who shelled out $90 for the Phantom Thieves edition of P5R. Even I have my limits, though. Come on.
Yeah, and how about this? If Funimation does do this thing, the Anaplex thing, which, you know, where they sell their shows for a cheaper price, can you do that with some other shows? Like, maybe do, like, a standard edition of Kill la Kill? Like have access to price, please?
God willing, that's the plan.
Yeah. Only owe one, look, I owe one Anaplex thing, which is the Madoka movie, the third one, because, well, it was kind of affordable. It wasn't like 30-something bucks, but yeah, y'all has made my pockets bleed and cry.
Don't worry, we'll likely be bringing up Trigger again in a bit for reasons. But aside from that, I finally signed up for HBO Max, and of course the first thing I do is spend the past several days going back through all of the Space Ghost episodes that are available on the platform. I think I counted like at least 6 or 7 that were missing.
Yeah.
But other than that, fun memories.
Now, when are you going to do the same for Whose Line?
We shall see. Now I just got to figure out what the hell I'm going to binge to next on that thing. Oh shit, right, Close Enough comes out this week. Finally. But aside from that, just the usual business. And speaking of usual business, time to jump into our usual business, starting, of course, with the new song discussions for the past week. Of course, as always, there will be a playlist down in the description so you can follow along and pick up some new tunes for your playlist along the way. Starting right up at the top here, the horror legend icon himself, John Carpenter, has dropped 2 brand new instrumental tracks that are not connected to any upcoming film projects, although they are speculated to be released on an upcoming Lost Themes 3 album that presumably will be coming out sometime after the next couple of Halloween sequels, because they're probably going to put in like soundtrack parts from, you know, those movies. So the 2 tracks we have here, one is called Skeleton, and yeah, it sounds very distinctly Carpenter-ish. It's got this really stuttering bass synth, lots of swelling synth chords, that thumping kick, and a lot of touches of like actual just natural piano in there, which adds a cool sound to kind of break through the syntheticness of everything. Of course, there's a decent amount of guitars in there too, with kind of like a general like decent thumping momentum to the whole thing. I almost kind of feel like this would probably be like a sort of Giorgio Moroder-ish track, as interpreted by Carpenter himself. And anyway, moving on to the next track, Unclean Spirit. This one definitely feels more like a horror soundtrack piece. It's got this mixture of creepy, ominous bass synth combined with more high-pitched, kind of like creepy-ass church organs. And once the piano kicks in, it really helps the mood because it's got this creepy, unnerving melody that plays really well off the synths. And it probably helps that it has no percussion to it, this one being just kind of reliant on this unnerving, floaty ambience. And yeah, not much else to add. Both tracks are really good. John Carpenter still has it, and whenever Lost Themes 3 happens, I'll probably listen to that. I'm still wondering when those Halloween sequels are happening, though.
I gotta say, like, these things really do fit in the whole, you know, the horror feel of it. Yeah, like, especially with, Unclean Spirit, yeah. Unclean Spirit, yeah, that definitely this was something haunting, like, we listen to that shit. And Hail Mary is a scenario which you go to something to check out something in the basement. Although in real life you probably say, "No, fuck that, I'm going back to bed."
That's a mood right there. There's a definite thematic connection with the two pieces, carrying a very strong Halloween-y presence, despite them being kind of opposites. The first track being an entrancing synthwave piece, and the second being a more foreboding piano track. But, you know, it's still always good to hear from this man.
He always knows his shit. Moving on to our next few tracks here. So, apparently, Mr. Mike Shinoda of Linkin Park fame has been keeping himself quite busy in quarantine, even working on a new album with a lot of involvement of his following on Twitch. Because, you know, what musician isn't on Twitch these days? So, his newest album is coming out this Friday, in fact, and it's called Dropped Frames Volume 1. Get it? Dropped Frames Gaming Live Streams. It's a pun. And so we have three songs here to preview the upcoming release. The first of these called Open Door, which, I gotta admit, it doesn't really do much for me. It's easily the most poppy of the songs, like, in terms of its really straightforward beat, trying to be really catchy in that, dare I say, Imagine Dragons-ish sort of way. You know, the lyrics are just straightforward, you know, trying to demand the most out of life, powering through adversity, stuff like that, with, you know, vocal contributions from a random handful of his fans on Twitch. Doesn't really do much for me, personally speaking. Although the next two tracks, which are both instrumentals, are honestly I like a lot better, because they get to play around with a lot more interesting soundscapes. First of these being Super Galactica, which, you know, kind of has that really creepy theremin in parts that kind of hovers above all the synths to provide this kind of weird spacey atmosphere, especially with like that synthetic warbled bassing that goes on. Although I swear to God, I've heard that one synth melody before. Like, I think it's the one in the beginning. I can't tell what it is. I want to say it's like the intro theme to the CW Flash or something similar, but I swear to God, that's been driving me nuts ever since I heard this song last night. And, of course, there's the other one, Osiris, which is, for my money, at least the best of the three. It's got this really unique woodwind melody in the opening, breaking through this kind of partially synthetic bass line. The drums have this really distinct, clattery, kind of trashy tone, almost kind of like stomp, but, you know, good. The last minute or so kind of breaks into more of a synthwave style to it. And, yeah, I prefer the instrumentals to the vocals-only track, but I'm curious where this whole project goes from here.
It'll be interesting to see where this whole thing goes. Open Door, it's kind of a strange electro alt rock rap hybrid that kind of reminds me of mid 2010s Panic at the Disco for some reason. Can't tell you why. It's just,
oh boy,
it's okay, I guess. The instrumentals are better though. Super Galactica. That's not even a word, Mike. What are you doing? It's good to know that I'm not the only one who's into chilled out electric grooves when crafting beats, along with something that may or may not sound like a Game Boy. And Osiris, this track reminds me a bit of those early Fort Minor tracks from that first and only album. And also like a hybrid of two tracks from Linkin Park album Meteora, Nobody's Listening and Session. It's a nice, slow burn, atmospheric instrumental to chill out to. Kind of all over the place with this one, so, I don't know.
We'll just have to wait until Friday then, I guess. Anyway, moving on to our next track here. Coming from a couple guys we've heard from quite a bit recently in here and there in spots, we got a track here produced by none other than Madlib, featuring bars from a, and let me see if I got this right here in my notes, Mr. Motherfucking X Squire with a capital X. Mark, care to fill us in?
Yes. In case you heard this guy, the first time I heard is this one track called Last Absolvers Remix, which he featured the Spot, Danny Brown, LP, and That's Racist, which that was a joint. But yeah, he got this new joint with Madlib, with another dude called Black Mirror. And in case you want to know anything about the show Black Mirror, so yeah, so, but yeah, it's funny. But yeah, like, It is a track, like, the thing goes on about black masculinity and community, which is also a song that's attributed to his Uncle Shango, who transitioned June 17th, the track is good. This bar his bars be good on here, like, it's like from a very, like, disturbing imagery, like, these lyrics as in, when they whip a man for his kids to see, cut his dick off, and mix within the pig feet, oh boy, that is just messed up. And the thing with the beat is this. I heard this beat, it's been used before. Like, this Mad Lib beat, this is a beat from way back during, I think, in the Pinata era, when, it's what they called The Garden, which I'm guessing, I know it was in one of the later EPs released for Freddie Gibbs, like after Pinata, this instrumental, I heard it before, and yes, this instrumental is, it's fucking trippy, it's fantastic, it's soulful, it's, this one track, I listen to, the instrumental I listen to every time I get a chance to hear it, like, this instrumental is fucking amazing, and the track is good too, like, even though I ain't heard much of Mr. Motherfucking XY, it's like, all right, it's good to hear from this guy again. But it's a good joint.
All right, moving on to the next track here. Speaking of people we've been hearing about here and there, looks like there's a new project coming out in a month or so from producer Washed Out. August 7th, it's called Purple Noon. Worth noting, the album will include the previously released single Too Late, which I believe we discussed a few weeks or possibly a month or so ago, as well as the track Face Up, which was originally released during the 2017 edition of the Adult Swim Singles program. Nice to see that make it a comeback. And so we have the new single to accompany the album announcement called Time to Walk Away, and yeah, this definitely sounds like chill vibes o'clock. For the most part, it just kind of loops on this vaguely, I want to say almost kind of chill wave meets reggaeton kind of beat, although to be fair, I vibe with it way more than most actual reggaeton, relatively speaking. I do like those booming tom hits that, you know, hit right before it enters into the chorus of the song. It's not the most memorable thing I've heard from Washed Out, especially considering some of the material on Mr. Mello from a few years back, but for what it is, it's alright.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, it's hazy, spacey, or at least it doesn't have more of a kick in its haziness, but yeah, it's a pretty alright track.
Yeah, some decent stuff here.
Yeah, the video's kind of weird too. The video's kind of, you know, it's something too. It's like this dude, like, I don't know, and it's a woman and they doing some shit, like, I mean, that's what I got from it.
Yep, definitely sounds like it's relationship problems, the song/video. And speaking of Adult Swim, time to move on to the next track here, the past week's entry into the Adult Swim singles program, courtesy of a producer named Patton. That's spelled with an E and not an O, just so you get that not confused. They come courtesy with a track called Rorschach, and there's really not much to the song itself, like, almost quite literally. In terms of its composition, it's just this kind of mostly percussionless, floaty, clattering set of, like, bell and tinkerbox melodies, almost kind of like a bunch of old-ass clocks going off in one of those really creepy-ass antique shops, and I mean, if that's the mood they were going for, then mission accomplished, but it literally just repeats that throughout the entire run of the song. There's not really much to latch onto, in my opinion.
I gave it a listen now and then, and I mean, they were what they were going for. I mean, it does sound like something, you know, a very creepy type of sound. Well, not like horror creepy, but more like an electro creepy type of sound, like. Something you would hear in a cyberpunk video game or something. At least that's what I got from it. Maybe I like it more. You know, I figured I like it more than you do. But yeah, it's alright.
Anyway, now to move on to territory that's more my speed. So, the Avant-Garde Black Metalers, Imperial Triumphant, are still gearing up to release their newest album at the end of this month called Alphaville. And we have the second single from the album, City Swine, which features guest contributions from one of my favorite drummers, and maybe some of yours, Thomas Hake of Meshuga. Ooh, very interesting. How does he slot into all of this? Well, first off, I'm guessing these guys must not care for New York City much at all. Just because, you know, the video imagery seems to cast it in this very caustic miasma, like it's the creepiest thing in the world, which, I mean, to be fair, it is New York City, so there's some truth to that. The song overall has this really creepy, unnerving aura to a lot of the guitars, with these dingy, dreary rhythms, melodies, and production. Again, sonic miasma, so to speak. Partway through, the actual distortion kicks in, and everything gets a lot more squealy, hectic, and noisy. There is this break halfway through where the drums kind of sound, they give way to what sounds more like bongos, congas, or possibly even timbales for a brief stretch. Of course, there's creepy pianos to complement these aggressive chugging rhythmic progressions, drums slamming hard with plenty of blast beats and other dense fills, which that one particular segment is definitely where it sounds the most peak Meshuga. Of course, Thomas's playing is as immaculate as always, slotting in perfectly with just the frantic, rhythmic, all over the place chaotic intensity of it all. Yeah, this is still getting my attention, and I'm really curious to see how Alphaville turns out.
Well, I didn't know that freeform coffeehouse black metal was a thing before this, so there's that. This is just a little bit too weird for me. It's way too all over the place. So, yeah, we're talking, like, galaxy brain stuff. I'm not there yet. Maybe in, like, 10 to 15 years, but right now, not yet.
You must acquire a taste for freeform jazz. Meets metal, but, you know. Anyway, moving on to the next track here. So, the electronic duo Disclosure are putting out a new album August 28th called Energy. We have a new single from the album called My High, which features contributions from rappers Amine and Slow Tie. I don't really have much to comment on aside from their bars and stuff. Like, again, nothing to say other than I think Slow Tie has the better set of bars on this one compared to Amine, but that's kind of a given. Also, this instrumental fucking slaps. That's all I have to say. This shit hits.
Yep, and you're gonna say Slow Tie versus clearly the better one out of two. I mean, Amine's versus, I mean, it's there. I mean, it's okay. I mean, it's fine. But I think Slow Tie has more of that energy as you know, as Disclosure was going for. And also that fucking music video. You got this dude strapped to this all enough strapped to just getting his ass hurt everywhere. It's like you just fucking with this dude. You either got going through traffic to a bunch of shit, like even throwing food to shit at him, or I'm guessing having sex on top of him. I remember that once he was like, "Is he not, like damn? They just this dude is having a fucking nightmare, especially near the end where it's just like." This is just a one crazy ass music video.
Yep, definitely worth a watch. And again, seriously, the beat is fucking killer. I might have to listen to some Disclosure soon. They put shit out that slaps this hard, then. And now moving on to our next track here. Oh hey, look at that! We got a new one here, courtesy of Pain of Salvation. I feel like it's been a while since we've heard of them. What? Their last album was like 3 years ago. I think. Yeah. 2017. I want to say.
Yeah, it's been a while.
Care to fill us in on what's going on, Alex?
Sure, I'll fill us in as we get started for 20 minutes of prog metal, my favorite, with these next two tracks. Okay, so back in January of 2017, so a little bit longer than 3 years, Pain and Salvation released my favorite album of that year, In the Passing Light of Day, and ever since then, I've been wondering when the next harrowing installment from this band will be coming out. Now we know, as Panther will be out on August 28th, and the first track, Accelerator, is now here. And if the last album was about Daniel Gildenlow's awful awful hospital experience, as, you know, he was on the verge of death. This seems to be a reaction to the world as it has, quote-unquote, grown since then. With these rather choice lines, because outside there's a world on fire, and as I'm standing right here, reeking of smoke, gasoline, and pyre, I smell just like your worst fear. Through every step in my wake is charred ground. I swear I'm not to blame here. I'm doing my best to fight fire with fire. Complete with a video that's interesting in that the band is shown shirtless, while some very aristocratic bureaucrat asshole in a suit and tie is sipping champagne and laughing to three clones of himself over the destruction that he and his cronyism has brought onto the world.
It's almost like it's a metaphor for something.
No, not from this band. No, never would have imagined that. Yeah, this song here is driven by this very pulsing, syncopated groove and what I think is a 12-8 beat. I don't know if I'm subdividing it the wrong way, but that's just how I'm trying to keep up with it.
Yeah, that's been driving me friggin' nuts for the past day.
Yeah, again, nothing that they're not shy about doing, bringing in some of those more interesting, quote-unquote, offbeat beats. It's all complete with some scathing verses about the world at large. Not the first time for that either, just go listen to Scarsick for more proof, and yeah, consider me in for this one. I'm very curious to hear how this band will try to top themselves on this new album, and hopefully it won't make me a blubbering mess like the last album did.
The feels. But yeah, I'm intrigued by this one. I mean, I did enjoy the last Pain of Salvation album, all things considered, and this one, yeah, that rhythm is gonna have me fucking thinking about it all goddamn week. What is the fucking polyrhythm going on here? Because that's what I think is happening. Because I'm trying to match the way the snare placements and the syncopated, like, bass and kick grooves are to the vocal patterns. It's just, the mysteries. But, yeah, I am very intrigued by this, even if, admittingly, it does repeat the groove a bit too much. Like, I think they would switch it up a bit more, but still, some quality shit here.
Mm-hmm. Here's how I'm counting it. I'm counting it like that. Triple groove, 12-8. I might be thinking too hard about it, but when you hear the start of the song, it sounds really all over the place. When you get into the chorus, it's much clearer. So, yeah. Enjoy, kids.
Rhythmic counting is fun. But anyway, speaking of acts that, you know, have... Well, I don't have a transition here, but The Ocean... They had an album out a couple years back, part one of a double release called Phanerozoic. The first part, Paleozoic, was on my year-end list for 2018, and now they're coming back with part two, subtitled Mesozoic Cenozoic, and don't ask me what any of this is supposed to mean. My major is statistics, not geology. So, we have the lead-off single from this album, Jurassic Cretaceous, which features guest vocal contributions from Jonas Renkse of Catatonia fame. And I have mentioned repeatedly before that this kind of epic, you know, soaring, kind of cinematic post-metal is completely my shit, and this one is no different. Just the way it vibes, builds, and, you know, rises and falls and waves and stuff. Like, it opens with this off-kilter syncopated riff and drum groove with a lot of these dramatic orchestral synths that kind of mimic, like, horns, trumpets almost as it settles into its, you know, typical groove. It's got some moments of quiet with these clattering, you know, snare clicks and these pockets of distorted chugs, tom grooves, the vocals that start off quiet as they melodically ride the groove and then swell into this pretty grand, epic sounding chorus. The following verses keep those tensions building with a lot of those palm muted riffs and the bass punctuating more in the mix. There's this great melodic bridge with these ethereal guitars and this building drum roll before settling into this ominous bridge with more of the snare clicks, the stuttering synths, and all of that. And then it swells further into this really, really just heavy, huge-sounding outro where the vocals get more screamed and heavy. There's lots of blast beats and drums and guitar tremolos and the melodies getting really intense as it, you know, closes out. Yeah, everything about this is just fucking doing it absolutely for me, and I cannot wait to hear where the full album takes us to the depths of friggin' prehistoric time classifications. Again, stats major, not geology, so figure that out on your own.
Okay, I think I'm going to have to make a day of these two albums when this new one comes out and just try to take in as much as I can from it. I don't think this is something like that you can take in piece by piece. You just got to take the whole thing in at once. That being said, this track feels much more to my liking. Less droning from the last time we talked about this band, and more centered within the typical prog metal scene with heavy guitar chords driving the track. And even at 13 and a half minutes, it doesn't lose momentum. That was the one thing I was worried about with this track. And, well, I'm just glad it finds a way to keep its pulse going throughout these various sections, building and building and building. Very good. Very, very good.
All right. Now with that out of the way, time to move on to our next track. So we've all been keeping track of virtual anime cons and, of course, virtual game announcements now that E3 has effectively bitten the dust for a multitude of reasons. Believe it or not, coronavirus is kind of least of those concerns, if you can believe that. So, yeah, there's been a lot of gaming news announcements, especially in regards to Cyberpunk 2077, which, before we get into the song proper, how about that fucking anime, right? They finally said the magic words that could possibly get me to give a shit about Cyberpunk 2077 beyond just Keanu Reeves being involved. Studio Trigger? Check. Directed by Hiroyuki Imaishi? Check. Character designs by Yo-Yo Shinori? Check. Composed by Akira motherfucking Yamaoka? Check, check, and motherfucking check. I'm so excited, I'm pretty sure I fucked up pronouncing Yamaoka's last name that first time. But still, that is the one thing I'm looking forward to the most from all this. 2022 can't get here fast enough. Although the game had to be delayed for, what, this is like the second or third time it's been delayed now? It's now coming out November 19th, so, you know, y'all gotta wait for that. But, as we've mentioned before, the soundtrack of the game will feature several contributions from punk veterans Refused performing under the in-game moniker of Samurai. And we have the newest track of theirs to be featured in the game, The Ballad of Buck Ravers. And lyrically, at least, it lives up to the expectations of cyberpunk fiction about how, despite the fact that you have all this flashy future technology and cool neon lights and fucking cybernetic augmentations, it's still every bit the fucking nightmare dystopian capitalist hellscape as, well, now pretty much. But musically, I mean, there's a decent punk energy to this song, mostly the drums. That's probably the best individual element of the song, IMO, but like, I don't know, there's something about this song that feels like it doesn't have as much bite as you think it would in context. Maybe it's the production or something. It feels kind of not as punchy as it really ought to be. It's just, I don't know, maybe I'm finally reaching the point where I'm hitting diminishing returns with the music of Refused, which is kind of a shame, but I don't know, that's just how I feel about it.
Yeah. Well, it's a pretty solid track here, and that's it. Kind of weird when I say a Refused track is more droning and repetitive than The Ocean. But, you know, here we are.
Yeah, it be like that sometimes. And now to move on to our final track here. It's a big old group fest here, courtesy of a Mr. Ty Dolla Sign. Or as we repeatedly jokingly refer to him, Ty Dolla Dolla Sign IGN. And he's got quite the squad on this one. It features production from Skrillex and has credited guest vocals from FKA Twigs, uncredited guest vocals from Serpent with Feet, and unfortunately, 2020 presidential candidate Kanye West.
No. Not really. Not really. You actually can't get on a ballot if you don't file with the FEC, which to our knowledge, it's way too late for that.
Yep. While I am very much aware of that, unfortunately, him just saying that, you know, there's going to be a lot of chuds who jokingly write him in candidate in the 2020 election, kind of like everybody did with Harambe in 2016.
Yeah.
Such is the state of things. And, first off, I wonder what it says about the song that the best part is FKA Twig's verse at the end. A verse that apparently also has samples of Queen Latifah, if the Genius lyrics listing is to be believed.
Yeah, this song is I'm gonna say this, the production is kind of cheap and kind of lame. And because it's on one of those Casio keyboard beats where you just play the same keys over and over again. And I don't know, it's just don't sound all that interesting to me. It's like, all right, I mean, okay. And of course, you get the vocals, like, you know, Ty Dolla $ign. He does whatever he, you know, the mid edit he always does. And of course, you get Kanye talking his shit. Although I heard I'm guessing it's prior to his, you know, his Jesus is King phase, which is more of a politically charged tone, which that can't be good. We talk about Oscar for and Super Bowl, but it's good for the players. All those halfway movements need a whole lot of improvement. Everybody want to talk. Everybody want to type. Everybody for the douche. Okay, I think it's further to how I guess when Travis Scott and Big Boy was doing the Super Bowl at one time with Room 5, which with all the bus under your brother-in-law, I guess. Your brother-in-law? I mean, tell me he is. I mean, they both married to the Kardashian family, but yeah, this song is kind of very, very mid, kind of boring.
Yeah, that's really all I have to say. It's got nothing going on.
Yeah, and maybe the most disappointing thing is I thought I expected more FKA Twigs, which are just that last verse, which it's just her and Samuel Smoke Queen Latifah track, and I guess I heard some graffiti. Well, I mean, he's on the bridge. That Skrillex production is just not good. It just sounds, like I said, it sounds just fucking cheap. This ain't doing it for me.
Yeah, it is what it is. But, well, at least we only had one dose of Kanye this week. I mercifully ignored the other one, much as I was tempted to. You know, this is already bad enough. So, with all of that out of the way, time to go on a quick break and then return with some news topics to discuss. So, stay tuned. And we're back. First up, we have to cover the topic of a couple of prominent deaths in the music industry this past week. First up, very tragically young, rapper Jordan Alexander Groggs, best known as a part of the Arizona hip-hop group Injury Reserve, unfortunately passed away this past week at the age of just 32. Jesus fuck,
that's fucking awful. And, especially when, they're going to be some pretty big names, like, with the album out last year, and, yeah, this is unexpected, man. I ain't got no words for this, but, yeah, we send much condolences to his, you know, to his family, his friends, his crew, all that, all that, and, yeah.
Yeah, for what it's worth, there is a GoFundMe page that's set up to support his family and his four children, so I'll link to that in the description for this episode this week. In other news, breaking literally like this morning, equally unfortunate, kind of a storied legacy here, iconic film composer Ennio Morricone passed away due to complications from a broken femur at the age of 91, and damn, talk about a fucking legacy just passing away right before our eyes. arguably yeah. one of the most, if not the most iconic composer next to people like, say, John Williams, the defining musical voice of the entire spaghetti western subgenre, especially his works with Sergio Leone, while also working on various other iconic films, such as John Carpenter's The Thing, Brian De Palma's The Untouchables, and, like, beyond just the legacy stuff, even going strong well into today, having won an Oscar in 2015 for his work on Quentin Tarantino's The Hateful Eight. Jesus, that's like 4 years ago. Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah, his sound being one of the most recognizable and iconic in the industry. So much so that, of course, needs to be mentioned that even Metallica, ever since 1983, have been using the piece Ecstasy of Gold from The Good, the Bad, and the Ugly as their concert intro music. Damn, fucking 30 plus years of just coming out on stage to that most epic and iconic of film score tracks. Metallica knew what was up.
Mm-hmm.
So, of course, to Ennio Morricone and his loved ones, and to Jordan Groggs' family and loved ones, we offer our deepest condolences in these sad times. Anyway, moving on to the next topic here, which is a bit less tragic. Vanilla Ice is fucking stupid.
Yep.
The heck you say?
I know, mm-hmm. Shocking, isn't it? So, recently, over this past weekend, he announced that he was scheduled to headline, quote, the Independent Day Throwback Beach Party at Emerald Point Bar and Grill in Lake Travis, Texas.
Okay, hang on, time out. Independent Day.
That's what it says right here.
What?!
I understand we're in the middle of some major bullshit going on in the world and especially here, but really? I don't think Vanilla Ice is the only one here who's being a major colossal idiot if y'all don't know the difference between independent and independence. I mean, my God. Do we not celebrate the day when President Bill Pullman and Will Smith saved humanity from an alien invasion in 1996? Do we not call it our Independence Day?
Nothing but respect for my president. Well, you know what they say, Alex. Poor literacy is cool.
Clearly. Godspeed, Bill Pullman. You're not dead, but you know you're still a pretty good human being.
Yeah, so anyway, getting back on topic, so yeah, they were hosting this with an expected crowd of 2,500 people, wishful thinking considering how badly cases of COVID-19 had been spiking in Texas. After news of the concert, you know, reached the interwebs and everyone got in their good dunks on Twitter, the Travis County Health Department was, of course, telling Vanilla Ice, yo, cut it out with the bullshit. Well, okay, technically what they said was, quote, this is not wise, regardless of who was performing at any gathering right now. The best way to be nostalgic is by protecting your parents and grandparents and staying home. Because, literally, his argument was like, yo, back in my day, we didn't have HDTV, we didn't have COVID-19. It's like, but it's not back in your day. It's today, like a boomer day. Now. This is 2020. That's not how time works, dude. But thankfully, he actually decided to grow a second brain cell, listen, and now the concert was canceled. He said, quote, I listen to my fans, I hear all you people out there, I didn't know the numbers were so crazy. Like, how do you not know that? Like, dude, what are you doing all day?
Well, I will say at least he canceled his thing. Unlike certain other rappers, like, what in the fuck, the baby?
Good God, man.
You had, I thought you... And Georgia has a lot of bad cases as well. So bad, the fucking mayor of Atlanta got it now, too.
Yeah, wear your masks, you freaking idiot. And don't gather in an enclosed space. Y'all don't know how germs work, and that's very obvious.
Yeah, it's
my God, man.
Idiocracy. I also have... Go ahead.
Yadua comes to Atlanta, Yadua comes to Atlanta, we can know that black people were tend to get it much worse. That's the doubly bad thing. At least to me. But shit, it's still fucked.
We're all just in a wonderful stew of crap. And I have two other things to note. There was actually one concert that happened over in Switzerland where not zero, but very, very low. So, you know, good for them. The band Destruction performed at the Z7 Club in Pratteln, Switzerland. I hope I said that right. To about 300 people, with the proper distancing protocols employed, mostly. Hopefully they won't have a spike like in, well, the U.S., because we're just... And also...
We're just boiling hot.
Also, regarding Mr. Ice, if that is his real name.
Unfortunately, it isn't.
Also, I can see here that the typo for the concert, that's responsible to whoever wrote this at Consequence of Sound. Who thankfully corrected it in a follow-up post saying that only 284 tickets to this show were sold.
Wow, 284? That's considering what the crowd you were expecting, 2,500 to 284. That's like threatened levels of promises right there.
Oh.
We're all in this together. It's all a group project. I know group project sucks, but for the love of all that's holy, can we stop trying to kill everybody? Because right now we have leadership who expects everyone to just sort of deal with it and expect people to die. Because you have to die for our dear leader, because they care about you, because they want you to get evicted, they want you to have no money, they want you to die, because it's tough love. Just like all those fucking cops killing all the people out there. All the black men and women out there.
So many things are so very, very fucked at all sorts of levels.
Yeah.
Well, let's move on to at least some good news. The story of a rapper actually doing something sensible and actually kind of positive. So, our good old friend, Mr. 21-21-21, 21 Savage, has announced that he's launching a free online financial literacy program for, you know, youth and teens that have been sheltered at home during this friggin' pandemic. The initiative, which he calls the Bank Account at Home, is in partnership with Atlanta Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms to, quote, provide free Wi-Fi and tablets for underserved students in the city. To hear him say it, in his own words, quote, I feel like it's important more than ever to give our next generation the tools to succeed in life. You know, good for him. Helping people. This is way smarter than anything DaBaby has done recently.
Yep. And all the shit 21 went through the last couple of years, this is a step up for him. Go 21-21-21. Why did I say it like that?
It's force of habit at this point. You know, kind of like how we can't say Travis Scott's name without saying straight up. But anyway, moving on to our next news topic here. So you might remember at some point last year the news that due to a weird botched server migration, MySpace, which was a site that apparently still existed, lost somewhere in the realm of 50 million songs uploaded between 2003 and 2015, which would include not just any major songs released by bands on the platform at the time, but tons and tons of personal projects that various users have uploaded to the platform, and Lord knows if they even remembered those songs were still there, or if they ever backed them up anywhere. Probably not. Some people probably want to forget their weird emo or IDM faces from those periods, but, you know, maybe some people wanted to go back to that. Who knows? Thankfully, there is a bit of decent news, as the website LostMySpace.com has been established as a functioning archive for people to pull up some of the missing songs. I'm kind of seeing, like, differing totals here. Like, the Metal Sucks piece we're quoting here says that it's 500,000, so 500,000 tracks, although I've seen some articles saying that they've gotten half of the full total back, so, like, 25 million. I'm not sure which is which, but whatever, it is what it is. So if you wanted to go back down the rabbit hole of your bad old deathcore scene days, seriously, they got back a lot of the classic, like, MySpace era deathcore jacks and bands, you know, your Suicide Silences, your Job for a Cowboys, Whitechapels, probably Waking the Cadaver 2 if you really like Shredded Wheat. God, that was a fucking weird band to exist, but yeah, anyway, if that's a rabbit hole. Look, don't ask me to explain metal memes and shitpost to you. I'm going to sound like a crazy person. We're going to be here a while. But yeah, if you have the time to go to LostMySpace.com and go down that rabbit hole, there's something for you to do as you're killing time, hoping this virus doesn't kill you.
Yeah, it's very nice to find out that there are archivists out there who are working to preserve all this kind of stuff. Just for the sake of preservation, because, you know, the internet is not, in fact, forever. Y'all gotta back up your stuff, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. But anyway, speaking of nostalgic rabbit holes, so here's some news that broke in the past week. So, according to various reports, it seems as though the television network Comedy Central... speaking of outlets that are responsible for lack of proper preservation, Viacom, looks like they're moving forward with two new seasons of the beloved 90s MTV classic Beavis and Butthead. That's right, it's coming back again for some reason.
Yeah, this is the third iteration of this shit.
Yeah, pretty much. So... yeah, as expected, series creator Mike Judge is back to write, produce, and of course do all the voices as expected. According to the press release, the show will feature the iconic metalhead idiots, quote, entering a whole new Gen Z world.
Uh-oh.
But, like, okay, here's my thing here. Like, okay, Beavis and Butthead, of course, its original run is some classic 90s television. The revival that happened in 2011... I half liked it. Like, half of it was good, the other half was just like, why did this even need to exist? But, doing a revival again 9 years down the road is just like, I'm not really sure why. Like, I can't think of any set of characters that are, like, less relevant to anything going on now than Beavis and Butthead.
Yeah.
I mean, shit, like, why couldn't we just stick with, like, okay, correct me if I'm wrong, but, like, they are, in fact, working on a Daria spinoff reboot thing, right? That seems like... Daria seems like a character that would honestly translate better to the current social climate than Beavis and Butthead would. Am I wrong? That's my opinion, but I feel like that makes sense.
Yeah, and
not to mention, like, I know, like, back then, like, you know, they aired MTV, and sometimes, you know, they watch music videos because you know MTV music videos, like, you know, back then when they did the shit, and now they're on Comedy Central, and it's gonna be the format now. Like,
we don't know, I mean,
music videos ain't exactly a thing on MTV anymore. Like, you play reruns of whatever sitcom they got airing on there.
South Park and The Office, mostly. This brings up another show that they're bringing back. Clone High. It's being rebooted, but nobody knows where it's going to be because of the powers that be at Viacom, CBS, what a very clunky name, they have their hands in several pots. They have a deal with Netflix. They have Pluto TV. They have fucking CBS All Access, which time I hear that, I always think of that one quote. Stop trying to make Fetch happen. It's not going to work. Everywhere else in the world, they get those shows on Netflix. Us, no. We got to pay extra for it. Nobody friggin' wants. And here's the biggest thing with this. This is being put onto Comedy Central, not MTV, because for the last, 23, 24 years, MTV has been overrun with reality television. An oxymoron if there ever was. Not only that, but bad reality television, aka the only shows that pop a rating for MTV nowadays. I know this for a fact because a couple weeks ago, they did something kind of cool. A Flashback Friday program event. 24 hours of quote-unquote classic MTV programming. They aired videos. Surprise, surprise. They aired two MTV Unplugged specials. They aired two of the VMA shows. They even had an actual first-run program, a two-hour TRL best-of program. I tuned into a bit of it because I was scrolling through my guidance and I went, oh, that's something you should have promoted on TV. But I tuned in, I watched a little bit of it. It was all right. 57,000 viewers. It got beat by a Korean baseball game airing at 6 o'clock in the morning. MTV, damn. Y'all just... I don't understand what you're trying to do with your cable networks. Then I hear about your guy in charge saying it's all about making your networks into something with brands. Like, making your networks into rerun farms is not going to work. Okay? Trust me on this.
That are just airing movies, just whatever. I mean, right now you got Get Hard airing on BET right now.
Oh boy, I get to watch Titanic for the 17th time in the last 3 months on VH1 on Saturday. Hooray!
Oh look, Friday Night Lights is on MTV. I mean, even though I like those movies, I've seen enough of them.
And don't forget that.
Oh yeah, and How High 2.
And don't forget that 3 day long ridiculous marathon.
That's still around?
Yes, unfortunately it is.
Yeah, I don't know. Maybe they're just going to do what they do with literally every animated show they ever try to do on their network. Just throw it on after South Park, see what happens.
Kindly piss off Chris McCarthy, you don't know what you're doing.
Well, we'll see where that whole thing goes. But anyway, at least we have one last news topic to close out here that's a bit of good news. It's the feel-good surrogate family reunion of the year. Alex, care to fill us in?
It's like seeing your two uncles finally reunite after 10 long years. So, John Petrucci, guitarist of Dream Theater. Y'all know him. Y'all know his beard. Y'all know his really expensive guitars. He has a new solo album coming out in the fall, Terminal Velocity. His first solo album since his first solo album back in 2005. It's been a long time coming. 9 tracks. I'm sure it's going to be very awesome shreddy guitar work, possibly from the songs we heard from the G3 tour a couple years ago. Much like the last album, it will have bassist Dave LaRue joining him. And on the drums, Mike Portnoy!
Yeah!
Finally a good story in this godforsaken dumpster fire of a year. Along with the possibly happening word of mouth going around that there might be a Liquid Tension Experiment reunion in the works, which I would be very into because that is some very good music.
It's good to know that even in this nightmare hellscape, some people can reconcile after many years.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
Now we just gotta wait for that Terminal Velocity thing to drop, so... Yeah,
that'll be due out in the fall. So, as I mentioned, his first solo album since his first solo album. It's been a long time coming.
Yeah. So, with that bit of news out of the way, we've now finished all the news topics and got one more thing to bring up here, and that is the new album releases for July 10th, 2020. As previously mentioned, the newest solo album from Mike Shinoda with Dropped Frames Volume 1. We got another Volume 1 here, Project Regeneration Volume 1 from Static X. Huh? There's the new Ensiferum album, Thalassic. We have a new covers album project, courtesy of Inter Arma, with Garber's Days Revisited. A new album from producer and electronic composer Juliana Barwick with Healing is a Miracle. And the newest album from country singer Margot Price with That's How Rumors Get Started. And now it is time to clean house and get the hell out of here. So, Alex, where can they find you on the internet?
Still hiding in the Discord from the horrid world, or of Azure is the name. And you can find me posting Letterboxd reviews of bad movies on there. I don't know why I do it either. I need something to fill the void in my life that the real world has taken from me.
Mood. Mark, what about you?
Well, as of recent, I'm now on Instagram. Or I just started using Instagram now because I had it for a long time. Just never got to use it. I now post some shit there. Under the name Mac2Point. With the word point in it. Yeah. I do some bit of shit there. And, of course, on Twitter, Mattism Media. And my site, MyHighWaterWebbers.com. Of course, some anime season started. I'm doing the time season shit there, and we're going to list that should be out soon. It may take a few days or so, but it'll be out this month. Just know that.
Yep. Anyway, as for me, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, CuriousCat, at Rob Barracuda. Email me at robert@surrealresolution.com for questions, comments, concerns, and inquiries. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on Google Play and iTunes. New audio-only episodes go up every Wednesday. Video usually goes up on the official YouTube channel, so subscribe, hit the bell tab, and be notified when stuff goes up there. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at @surrealreso, like us on Facebook. Be sure to visit the website itself so you can see written articles, this podcast, podcast O&A, all of that wonderful shit. Be sure to jump into our Discord chat so you can shitpost to your heart's content. And of course, shout out to the producer, Mr. E, for graciously letting me use his music for this podcast. Links to his shit down in the description. Well, thank you for listening this week. We'll of course be back, next time with the usual business. And until then, what the fuck, world? Stop being stupid.
Please.